You're listening to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, your host. Mind Your Own Business is a weekly show that we do talking to some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs, helping you to be better at being a business professional by learning from all of the experience that these entrepreneurs and CEOs bring from all around the world. Exclusively here on Inspired News Radio. And now it's time for Mind Your Own Business.
Well, it's a great day right here on Inspired News Radio. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Mind Your Own Business. Hi, I am Scott Sullivan, and I am your host every single week right here on Inspired News Radio. We talk to some great entrepreneurs, some great successful people in their own field, and every single week I bring you some nuggets of information that make you better at what you do, improve your life or the quality of what you're doing right now, simply because we have some of the best guests. And this week is no exception. I am so excited to be bringing to you today Sue DeMay. And Sue DeMay she's got a list of things that's about as long as my arm. She's a CEO, of course. She is the CEO of Heart-Led Living Incorporated, but she's also a visionary and a global impact visionary leader. She's a speaker. She is a prolific published author and best-selling author. And on top of all of that, if that wasn't enough, she's also an intuitive healer. So Sue, welcome to Mind Your Own Business this week. And how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here with you.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a little part of your day and sharing with us the things that you do. I have got to dive into a whole bunch of stuff. As you know, my listeners love the origin story, and we're going to jump right in that in just a second here. But before we get started, I think I know what an intuitive healer is. I've had quite a few of them on the show, and I've spent a lot of time, and I obviously know what an author is, and I can pretty much pick out what a global impact visionary leader is. And of course, I know what a CEO is. But the Heart-Led Living, and I've looked at your website, and before we get into the origin story, I just need to understand the difference between leading from your head and leading from your heart, because I've read through it a couple of times. And can you just give us a little bit about what it means to be heart-led?
Heart-led is about tapping into a knowing in your heart, in your soul, in your spirit, a knowing that goes beyond the logical mind. So it's not knowledge, it's a knowing. It's different. And when we lead with the heart, we tap into a knowing that actually serves all of humanity all together, all at once. If we're actually living from the head, we're living from a limited perspective or a fear-based programming filter. So when we can lead with the heart, we can actually bypass those limiting beliefs or limiting fear-based filters in our mind.
That's crazy. I love that. That's just super inspiring. So I'm assuming then, as part of being the CEO of Heart-Led Living, you help people like me to change that mindset. I used to consider myself a linear thinker and, you know, and all these things, and a visionary and ideation and all those. I mean, I could just list all these buzzwords. But when I started looking through your website and I started looking at some of the things that you're doing, I'm trying to understand I love what you said, is that the entire universe benefits from heart-led, whereas from head, if you're thinking or leading with your head, I love what you said about being fear filtered and fear based. That's incredible. So is the goal or the mission statement of Heart-Led Living to help others to understand that and open up that heart-led living?
Absolutely. We're all about shifting consciousness from head to heart. And when we do that, then we are serving all of humanity, and ourselves are included in that. We actually are included in that nurturing and experience of being divinely guided.
Wow. Okay. Well, I'm gonna stop there because we're gonna come back at the end of the hour and we're gonna touch back on all of that and the great services that you offer and how you are going to help this neophyte like me to break through that those walls and that fear and all those things that we just talked about. You're going to help me and all of our listeners at the same time. So I want everybody right now, you've got your ears all perked up. I know you just heard that. So stay tuned because at the end of the hour, Sue is going to spend some time telling us what and how she does that. But in the meantime, let's just dive into the origin story a little bit. Where did you come from? Kind of how you got your feet on this path? What was the awakening that you experienced? And kind of pick it up from there and tell us how you got on this path.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it all began when I was a child. I was born with an intuitive gift, my intuitive healing gift I came with. And it was very, very strong when I was younger, and I would pick up on a lot of people's physical pain. I would pick up on their emotional pain. And the challenge, the way that my gift works, is that it would actually come into my physical body, and I would experience their pain physically and their emotional pain in my body as if it was my own. So if I was sitting in a room, I would feel everyone's physical pain in my body. And I would feel everyone's emotional pain. And I would also be able to feel into what they were saying and how they were feeling and the discord between the message they were saying or how they were pretending to be in life and how they really felt deep down inside themselves. And so growing up as a child, I would sit in the corner and it would be literally like thorns coming at me in all different directions. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering. I picked up on a lot of people's discomforts and it was really hard for me. Growing up, I thought I was cursed. I thought I was being punished. So I found ways as I started to get older, found ways to try and numb it out and try and turn it off. And, you know, I turned to drugs and alcohol. I was anorexic for quite a few years, trying to use food to feel like I had some sense of control again. And I just really struggled. And I got to this point where I remember waking up in the morning after a night of binge drinking, and I hadn't had anything to eat at that time. I was anorexic. I had barely anything to eat for about a couple weeks. And I woke up that morning, my eyes are heavy because I was still kind of feeling the effects of the alcohol. And I remembered writing a poem the night before. And I took that poem and I threw it in the garbage. So I remember throwing it in the garbage. I picked it back up and I opened it up and I read it. And I realized in that moment, it was like, that was kind of my rock bottom. Like you couldn't be more down on the bottom. And I realized that if I kept doing what I was doing, I was going to kill myself. Basically, it was like a slow suicide. And I called a counselor that day for support. And I started to embark on this journey of self-discovery and, you know, starting to challenge my mind. And it was all consuming, the thoughts, it was very mean. My self-talk was like cruel, mean, insanely just attacking all the time. And that was the world I lived in. I was so much in my head. I was so disconnected from my heart. And it was like I was dying inside, is how it felt. When I started to embark on this journey of personal growth and spirituality, I started to really awaken to the truth that I'm not the thoughts in my head. And what's happening in my mind is actually not true. And a lot of the words that were coming were just words, and I didn't have to listen to them. I didn't have to believe them anymore. And I started to tap into the knowing in my heart. That little light was always there, but it started to get brighter, directing me on my path, and everything started to shift. And I came to a point where I was working with a friend. I was sitting with a friend and she had this pain in her body and I started to see it differently. And I'm like, can I just try something with you? And she's like, sure. So she closed her eyes and I feel like, because energetically I did it, but I feel like I just reached in and grabbed the pain out of her body and pulled it out. And her eyes popped open and she's like, what did you just do? And I was like, I thought I was in trouble. And I'm like, why? What? She goes, the pain's gone. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, it's gone. I don't feel the pain. What did you do? And I'm like, I just pulled it out. Like, I just removed it. And I realized in that moment that this curse or this punishment that I thought was my biggest curse in my life was actually my greatest gift. And it awakened the healer within me. And I started to actually really feel the calling to do this beautiful work to support other people in awakening to the power or the potential or the gifts that are actually hidden inside of them or the gifts that they're running from, because I ran from that gift a long time. So that's kind of a little bit in a nutshell.
No, that's yeah. Fantastic. I'm going to unpack a little of that because I have a bunch of questions.
Definitely.
So when you realized or you discovered this, so it sounds like, first of all, I can't empathize because I just can't imagine what that was like to take on other people's pain. So it was like, please don't come anywhere near me because I don't want to, if you've got a back pain, I don't want to feel it. So, I mean, that just, first of all, that's just got to be, that's just a ton to take on, especially as a younger child. But then you said as you grew a little older and you then with your friend, when you were able to, you know, take away that pain, did that also then take away the pain that you were feeling? Or did, how are you able to now as an adult, you know, just find your way through this minefield? How are you able to take on someone's pain? Or do you heal it through this conversation that you're having with them? And then through the intuitiveness that you have, are you able to then shed that pain off of yourself? Or do you still have to take on that pain before you can heal them or fix it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because that was a process of discovery for me. So in the beginning, it wasn't actually about me like avoiding, like, oh, don't come near me because it's painful. It was more like, oh, let me take that for you. Let me carry that. Let me hold that burden for you, because my heart, my greatest heart's calling is to save the world. And those are big words. And it was a burden and a responsibility as a child that I took on. And I was like, let me take your pain. Let me take your pain. Oh, let me help you. I thought that it would help people feel better, but it didn't. They still had their pain and I actually felt like crap. So what I realized over the years is that I'm not to take on their pain. It comes in as a message, but what I'm guided to do is actually be in partnership with them or be a guide for them and help them heal it. So yes, I can move energy. I can manipulate it. I can tune into people's bodies now and I can feel into disease and different things in their body. And I can help point to the root of it. And then I can help them clear it, but it has to be a partnership. They have to be on board and willing to heal. Over the years, I discovered that one, I can't take on people's pain. So I need to keep it separate and honor their pain without trying to take it away from them and help them process it in a way that's healthy for them. And it clears it for them and it doesn't harm me in the same time. When I'm in public, what I recognized is there's got to be a way for me to be in public and not get constant messages and constant thorns coming in all directions. So I create a practice, what I call minding my own business. And when I mind my own business, I know it's so appropriate, right?
that's kind of appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. So when I mind my own business and I'm in public, then I can actually go out to the grocery store and not be bombarded by everybody's, like you say, kind of like walking through a minefield. So it's a little bit of like toning it down or turning it off. And it's not like I turn it off, but I've figured out a way where I can be in the world and not have it bulldoze me over. And the beautiful thing is it's more like a filter. So if there's somebody that I'm coming in contact with, whether that's at the grocery store or at an event or anything, if there's somebody that I'm actually meant to connect with, that I'm actually meant to help support, then I'll feel it. It'll come in as a message and I'll feel it. And then I tune in, is this mine or someone else's? So if I feel pain or if I feel an emotion come up, I'm like, I ask if it's mine or someone else's. And if it's not mine, I'll get a clear picture of whose it is and how I need to connect with them. So those are kind of things that have come in that have helped me along the way. So I can actually be in the world and not be like feel like I'm at, the world is on my shoulders totally.
Yeah, that's I'm just sitting here thinking about trying to empathize of what it's like to you know, I'm so glad though that you finally figured out, or you the universe spoke to you in a way that says, okay, I don't have to take this on to me like when you were younger, because it's just, I can't imagine the, you know, the burden of not only taking on that pain, but the emotional pain and I'm not even the physical pain is, you know, it's gotta be unbearable, but the emotional pain has just gotta be horribly heavier, because it's like, you know, and I understand that you were, you know, when you were talking about, you know, being suicidal and self-medicating and through all of that. So what was, how old were you when you kind of came into your own and you started to reach that stride where you understood more about the gift that you were given and that what you were bringing to the world?
That wasn't until my 20s.
Okay. So yeah. you suffered through. And so the first thing is I'd like to say is if there is anybody out there right now that is feeling that, then Sue is going to be, you know, could be a mentor for you, because there are other, you know, there's 8 billion people in the planet now. And of course they all don't listen to Mind Your Own Business. I wish they did, but you know how that goes. but there are people out there right now that are struggling, and it's sad, but it's also amazing at how many people I have on my, not only on my social media, but on my show, actually, that talk about the early years of not understanding it and feeling, you know, isolated, outcast, so different, so that there was just so much emotional struggle because they couldn't come to grips with what really turned out later in life to be a tremendous blessing, like what you're getting now, is that I love that you say, you know, you're saving the world. I know that's a very bold statement, but it sounds like you're actually making an impact, you know, one person at a time or groups at a time. So that's fantastic. Now, once you found out in your 20s, you started to hone this to where you could actually, you know, manage it, like you said, you know, mind your own business as you walk out into the grocery store. Now, as you are in adulthood and you're working through this, can you put your finger on, you know, how the people around you that have now helped to mentor you and mold you and bring you into this new level of consciousness? Are there people that have influenced you that you'd like to give a shout out to right here?
Well, it's interesting because, like, there's always these, you know, I call them earth angels, right? There's these people that come into your life, and sometimes they come in like just for one moment and say one thing to you and your whole life changes. And then others, you know, that you can reflect back on and go, wow, you know, without that impact, without that influence, or without them touching my heart in that way, I wouldn't be the person I am today. And there's definitely, like, my guidance counselor in high school is one of those people who just, I was so insecure and low self-esteem, but she just saw something in me that, and she pointed out things in me that I never really would have saw myself. And she was this beautiful reflection of the light within me. And that really impacted me and kept me going in those times where I was really struggling through high school. And then my grandmother is just this beautiful, beaming light of unconditional love. And she just taught me so much about how special we each are. And she made me feel like I was the most special person in the world. And I realize now that I grew up, she actually makes everybody feel that way. She just has that, you know, and without saying you're my favorite, she didn't even ever have to say that. She just exuded so much love and held you in such a beautiful space of love and acceptance. And she really, she was the one thing, I think, the brightest light for my heart. It really kept my heart open in a way that without her influence, I think my heart would have been slammed shut and locked very, very tightly without her impact. And then, of course, there's different spiritual teachers along the way and different people that influence my work and stuff for sure. But those are two that really stand out for me.
That's so cool. I love what you said about your grandmother, but I will tell you is that you know, from the years that I've been on this earth, the same, I love when someone can see instead of seeing the shell or the facade or the mask of what we have as, you know, the humanism that we are expressing into the world, I love those people who can actually see past that. They actually don't even see that. They see whatever that energy and that light is that's inside of us. And it just still amazes me when those people come into your life and they say or do something and they're inspired by the light that you are giving them and you don't feel that way at all, but yet they can see past all of the trappings and everything else that's here, you know, the temporal stuff and the, you know, the earthly. I love that. I have a couple of folks in that, you know, that look at you and you can just tell by the way they're looking at you. They're not looking at this, you know, this facade. They're looking right straight into your soul. And I think that is so cool. I love that. How you said that about your grandmother. That's so great.
Well, even as you're saying that, I just realized when you're saying that, I'm like, oh my God, that's what they taught me. Because that's what I do is when I'm working with my clients, when I'm sitting with somebody or whether it's even virtually or in person, it's like I see past everything and I can hold this space of non-judgment and I can hold this space of a loving acceptance and I see the light within them no matter what darkness they throw toward me and say, but this. I'm like, no, but I see your innocence. I see that your love, like at the core of who you are. I can see that. And I didn't realize that those two people taught me that to be able to extend that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny though, we're having this conversation because I have a mentor that I've known for a great number of years. He's a very, very spiritual man. And he talks about, he believes, now I differ with him a little bit. We're not going to get into theology here, but he believes that everyone is born with that positive light and energy and that they spend the rest of their lives trying to tamp it down and hide it and, you know, throw mud over top of it. And some people don't. Some people embrace it and it shines and those are those earth angels you talk about. But the rest of us, the world just, you know, beats us up with that, with our self-talk and all the things that you talked about earlier, which is like, I need to hide this because of whatever reason that it's just being blocked away. And then we have those people that come into our lives for a moment. They don't, it's like you said, he gives me the example of even if you're at the office and you're in a corporate job and you're walking down the hall, if you lift up your head and smile at the person next to, you know, that you're passing in the hall and maybe speak to them, you know, hi Sue, good morning, how are you, and mean it, right? Have a cheerful greeting and an exude energy to that person. You just chipped away at that wall. That wall just got, you know, knocked down a little bit, or a little beam of light comes through. And he talks about that all the time, is that if you know, you need to be a wall breaker, you need to be the one that's tearing down those walls so that, because the light's in there, it just needs to get out. So yeah, it's funny we're having this conversation because he's a devout listener. So I can hardly wait till he hears this episode. Nice. Well, that's
it. Sounds like him and I would get along really well.
Yes, you would. I'm sure that you're cut from the same cloth. Okay, so now you've kind of through our journey here in our story, you've come through the early times. You've built out this understanding, and now you're helping people. So, can you give our listeners just a, you know, I hate to ask for a concrete example, but when I make a decision with my head versus with my heart, can you give us a tangible example of the difference? Like if I mean, something as mundane as, you know, lunch or something, are these big esoteric kind of giant things, or can we learn to then, you know, lead through our heart for even the smallest little things that happen during the day? What, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying I don't want to get all, you know, woo woo and say, well, you got to stop and smell the roses and, you know, take a moment to, you know, lift your face into the sunshine every day. And all, I mean, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how do we incorporate it, your belief system and put the heart led living in the day to day kind of application. Can you give us an example of that?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So basically leading with your heart is like following your internal GPS. Do you have an internal GPS that's guiding you in every decision you make, including what to eat, including, you know, when to go to bed, everything, and what book to pick up? Like, all of it is intuitively based decisions. So you can call it gut instinct or intuition, whatever you want to call it, internal GPS, following your heart. It's all the same stuff. Whatever language feels best for you and whatever resonates for you is what you can follow. So every decision that we make through the heart comes from love and is filtered through love. It's pure and it's serving everyone. And because basically our heart is a bridge to our spirit, the universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it. And it's that global perspective. It's that greater, grander perspective that's serving all of humanity. So when we can come from the place of heart, or when we use our internal GPS for making decisions, all small and big decisions, all of them, that's our intention, is to do all of them through the heart, then they're all filtered through love. Any decision we make in the mind, if it's not in alignment with the heart, then it's being filtered through fear. So the way to discern, one of the ways I help people discern between head and heart is, do you feel resistance? Is there any niggling or resistance, that anything that feels off about the decision you're making? So I help people tune into that heart yes. It's the feeling of yes in their heart, and not to confuse it with the head yes. Yeah, that would be cool. I want to do that. It's a more of a feeling in the heart space and more of an experience in the body that helps them connect to that inner place of knowing, that internal GPS. When we make decisions from there, then we'll feel that authentic, genuine feeling of yes. When our mind is not in alignment with the heart and it's not in sync, or we're afraid of what the guidance is, or we're afraid to follow the heart in that circumstance, then we'll feel resistance. And if we feel resistance, then that's a signal that there's a gap between the mind and the heart.
Makes sense.
One way. Yeah.
Okay. So that is very clarifying. So thank you very, very much. I love that. So if there's resistance, then you're probably just maybe. So then what is the action? So sorry, I'm struggling.
That's okay. So then you use resistance. So the resistance becomes your friend. It becomes a finger pointing to what you need to look at. So let's say there's something in your heart that you know you're meant to do. You know it. There's a knowing. But in your head, you're afraid. So you're afraid that someone's going to judge you, or that you're afraid about what other people are going to do or think or whatever.
Failure and or anything.
That,
yes.
There's a whole fear.
Why not to do it?
Yeah. So that fear would actually stop you from taking inspired action. It would stop you from, it might lead to procrastination. So procrastination can be resistance.
Okay.
So if you're feeling like you're procrastinating, you can stop and go, okay, I'm feeling resistant through procrastination. You can pause, take a breath, close your eyes, and just feel into it. Where is the fear? What am I afraid of right now? What am I worried about? What am I resisting? And then just that inquiry, just that simple thing, just pausing and asking, sometimes it points us right to the answer. I'm afraid that so-and-so is not going to like me, or I'm afraid that people are going to judge me. So in that, then you can make a choice to let that fear continue to lead and continue to hold you back and paralyze you, or you can forgive that fear. You can process it or acknowledge it and forgive it or move through it. Sometimes you have to actually move through it with courage. Then you can make a choice for love.
Wow. Okay. So you've just blown my mind. So now I get it. So what I was struggling with is, what are the next steps? But what you're saying now is, take that moment. So I'm feeling the resistance, whatever it is, procrastination, something, but I take that moment, I pause, and I'm repeating this back to you because I want to make sure I clearly understand what you just said. I take a moment, I pause and I say, so what is the reason why I'm not taking this action? The resistance I'm feeling is fear for, I'll use the example you did, is that, you know, somebody's going to make fun of me, or I'm going to feel judged, or there's going to be some fear. And then you can step back and say, now, do I succumb to that? And then you have a, not only a mental or a head understanding of it, but now your heart also understands why. And it kind of, I don't want to say removes the fear, but it kind of lifts the fear up and says, okay, I now see it, I'm embracing it, I understand it, I'm making the decision through my heart to say, I'm not going to go forward for those reasons, and I'm going to work on that fear. Or you courage through it, like you said, or just by pointing a finger at it and say, fear, I see you, it may actually shrink into the corner, and you can say, I don't care if anybody judges me, I'm going to do it anyway, because you just acknowledged it. So I think I got it. I paraphrase that pretty
bad? Yeah. Sounds good to me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I just had a breakthrough.
Nice.
No, this is great. So I really, really, so when I was reading through your materials and I was getting to know you virtually, I was trying to understand that, you know, how, you know, I love that, you know, when you think of leading from the heart, you think of these big, huge, you know, things that you do that are, you know, impactful, and, you know, you help the homeless, and you go feed the homeless on Thanksgiving, and all these things that we do that we may even not be doing for the right reasons, but you think of that as being heart-led. But I was trying to figure out, how do you incorporate it into your day-to-day, you know, how do I live more heart-centric and heart-led, you know, on a day-to-day basis when I'm making my decisions, and now I can see it. I love that. I love what you've just shared with us. So that's fantastic. And speaking of big, grand, wonderful gestures, one of the things I found out about you, and I know we didn't say we were going to talk about this on the air, but tell us about your foundation, about the Heart-Led Living Foundation, and what you're actually doing with your partners in Kenya. Tell me a little bit about how you're giving back in a big, grand gesture.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've always had, so again, going back to that intuition and following our heart, I always had a connection to Africa. As a little girl, I remember drawing this picture in grade one or grade two of me flying on an airplane and saying goodbye to everybody, all the women and children down in Africa. I had just dropped off supplies and food and clothing for them. And I was like, I'll be back. That was my little like bubble above my head, right? I'm like, I'll be back. So I always had this connection in my heart to Africa. So in 2015 or 2014, I can't remember what year it was, I ended up going to Africa, going to Kenya and visiting women in the Kibera slums and visiting families and children. And I was really inspired by their courage and their determination to overcome their challenges in living in the slums. So very minimal, you know, food and water and all the basic needs that we here have, like, you know, in the privilege of living in the society we have at our fingertips, they don't have. And I was really inspired to do something. So when I came back, I created the Heart-Led Living Foundation, and I started to, you know, incorporate a giving back component to my business in the way of putting some money aside for all of the membership dues and stuff, putting a certain amount aside to contribute to the foundation. And our goal is to, our intention is always to extend love. Everything is given from a place of love, not fear. And we provide a hand up, not a handout. And it's about empowering girls and women in Kenya. And we do that through collaboration with a program called Days for Girls. And in the Days for Girls program, what we're doing is purchasing kits, menstrual kits, and they're hand sewn by women in the Kibera slums. So it actually employs the women in the Kibera. And then the girls receive their kits for free. And they're basically menstrual kits that last them for about three years, allowing them to continue their studies. So anytime the girls had their menstrual cycles, if they didn't have a kit or didn't have pads or anything, they would stay home from school. So they would miss 4 or 5 days every month of school. These kits allow them to stay in school for 3 years, and they are thrilled to have to feel empowered to have the education, because they are, many of them have these big visions, and education for them is really, really, really important. So we're grateful to be able to collaborate in that.
That's capacity. Fantastic. And of course, if you go to the Heart Led Living website, you can learn more about that, of course. I'm sure everyone will get to that here shortly, but heartledliving.com, and just scroll down on the website, and there is the Heart Led Living Foundation. So first of all, thank you for giving back. That's fantastic. I love that, and it's a great cause. So congratulations. So let's migrate now into that part where that everyone's been waiting for. We've brought through the origin story. We've talked about the motivation and some of the things that you're doing. Now let's get into, how do my listeners, myself, and everyone else, how do we actually engage with you? What are some of the services and the things that that you can help us with for that breakthrough moment? I do want to mention, the fact is that you have just published your sixth book in January of 2019. You have your sixth book, The Evolution of the Ego, and congratulations on being a best-selling author and being so prolific with six books. How do our listeners get a hold of your books? How do our listeners get in touch with you? And what are some of the services and things that they can do? I know you're also a speaker and you've got big events. Let us know a little bit about where you're going to be and how we can then connect with you and the services that you offer so that we can get a little bit of this awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to. So with my books, of course, they're all available through Amazon Chapters, any online bookstore, you can get them. And they basically, all of them, although the last four of them more so, are really about helping people get out of their head and into their hearts and shift that consciousness into the heart. But it's also about unwinding the mind and unschooling, undoing all the programming, right? So I'm very much about, when we're talking about heart-led living, it's like, what's in the way of you actually being the intuitive being that you are? Because we're born naturally intuitive. And all of the things that I offer are all about unwinding the mind, changing that programming, and aligning with the knowing in their heart. And you could do that through the books. I have an Intuition Academy, which is a 7 to 11 month program that actually does exactly that, unwinds the mind and clears that channel for intuition. And then I have a membership, a global membership. There's a free level as well as mentoring levels that people can come in and participate. And I really love the healing in community, because it's really powerful when we're witnessing someone else going through a deep wound and then coming out the other side into that feeling of relief and freedom from it. It's very empowering. It actually inspires other people to go deep into their own wounds and to clear their deepest fears and to really step out of the shadows and out of the, you know, free themselves from the shackles that have been holding them back for most of their life. So for me, it's all about freeing people to live the life they're meant to live now, and to free themselves from the fear that's been holding them back from really being the best version of themselves and being the most authentic version of themselves. Because what the world needs is for all of us to stand up, stand out, and stand strong as we shine like the brightest light. There's so much happening in the world right now. There's so many people struggling. There's a lot of fear rising up to the surface for healing. There's a lot of things getting uncovered, and there's a lot of people thinking things are getting worse, but I'm actually excited about everything that's happening, because everything's getting uncovered. Everything's coming up to the surface for healing. And as long as it's been hidden for so long, we can't see it, we can't heal it. So all of the stuff that's coming up right now, it's in our face. It's forcing us to look at where we're holding ourselves back. It's forcing us to look at where is fear keeping us imprisoned. And it's allowing us to actually really step through and move through these things so that we can free ourselves up to do the work we're meant to do in the world, to play the role we're meant to play. Whether it's a big role, whether it's a small role, every role is essential. And like that guidance counselor, she had a huge impact in my life. It doesn't matter if you're a global speaker on stages or if you're a guidance counselor or if you're someone that's working at, you know, as a janitor in a high school, you can have an impact and you do have an impact. And right now, the world is hungry for more people to wake up and do the work that they're meant to be doing. And right now, there's people waiting for you to say yes to what you're meant to do in this world. And for me, I'm all about helping people arrive at that place where they can say yes, and I'm willing to play my part and have the clarity in what their part is. And that's what I'm most passionate about.
That is so fantastic, Sue. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I just want to, again, just want to unpack a little bit of that. The first thing that you need to do immediately is you need to understand, Sue Dumais doesn't necessarily translate directly in the spelling. So let me just make sure. When you are going to Amazon or your favorite online bookseller and finding copies of The Evolution of the Ego or the last book of the stand-up series that Sue just mentioned, her last name is spelled Dumais. Being French, it is pronounced Dumais. So Sue Dumais is the international best-selling author of 6 books right now in the series, and you can find them online at any of your favorite online, you know, booksellers. Second, you need to go to heartledliving.com, just like it sounds, heartledliving.com. And you need to look at, well, first and foremost, you just need to sign up for, as you arrive, you need to sign up for her subscription service so that you can, you know, be on her mailing list so that you know the things that are happening and when she is out and about in the world so that you can actually get the chance to see her. But there's also a place there where you can become a member. So your membership matters, right? So it, from a free level all the way through the mentorship, membership levels, pick one that fits into your budget and into what you're being led by your heart. I love this because I'm able to actually incorporate it. Use the decision that you've learned here on this show. Use that decision-making process by leading with your heart and find the level that fits best into your world and become a member. I am right now doing that myself so that I can be a member and understand where Sue's going to be so that I can spend time, with the master, trying not to be too over verbose here, but, just having an opportunity to stand in the light of that community. I love what Sue was saying when she said it's great to have a community that is having breakthroughs. Having been in sessions like this over the course of my life, where you see just fantastic changes being made in people, you actually are a witness to the power of learning and understanding. And I had a mentor once that said, physical wounds to the body heal from the bottom up, right? You put a bandage over them to keep them clean, but the body heals itself from inside out. And it's the same way we do with these wounds that Sue is talking about. We have to get them to the surface so that they can actually be healed. We don't even know they appear until the layers are peeled back and all of a sudden now we have a wound that's visible that knows it needs to be treated. So I love the optimistic view. The fact is, you know, you may think the world's going to hell in a handbasket and Sue's saying, nope, it's just showing us what needs to be fixed. Yeah. So I think that's fantastic. I love that. And I'm probably going to have to be quoting that. I'm not 100% sure I'll give you credit, Sue. Sorry.
That's all good. You paraphrase it. You can use your own words. All good.
But you definitely need to go to the website. You definitely need, and while you're there, you know, scroll down to the Heart-Led Living Foundation and make a donation. Keep that foundation up and running, or pick one level higher that you normally would, and know that that part of that money that you're giving to Sue is going towards some fantastic things that are happening for young women in Kenya. So did I miss anything, Sue? Come on, tell me here. What am I missing?
The one thing I will say, because I just added it, I just got really clear guidance around it, the Heart Yes gift set. So when you do opt in to become any level member, free level and the core and the expansion level member, will receive the Heart Yes gift set. And what's included in that is my blessing. So it's a lesson and a blessing every week. So that'll be sending that out to you. And then you'll get the Heart Yes check-in tool, which is essentially me guiding you into your heart space, tuning into the energy of the heart space and helping you discern a true heart yes. It's actually a 30-minute meditation. You could use it for any decision you're making. You can bring that decision into the meditation and use that tool until you build the confidence yourself. That's available. And then there's the Love Deeply Now meditation, which is just a scrumptious 45-minute immersion into the energy of love. And then I have the Ego Game of Opposites masterclass, which is a tool that I teach to help people stop self-sabotage instantly in the mind. Those are all included in my Heart Yes gift set when you sign up for any level membership, including the free level.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So yes, that gives you a whole nother reason to go to heartledliving.com and make absolutely sure that you are, you know, just scroll down the page and click on that and get that membership started. I am so thankful that you are a guest on our show. Thank you for supporting Inspired News Radio. Thanks for being a guest on Mind Your Own Business. Thank you for, you know, just leading with your heart and being a light on the hill that we can all point to and say, that's where I want to be. And that's the direction I want to move. So thank you for that, being that beacon. And we really appreciate it. I can't imagine what we've talked about today and being able to carry that, you know, burden of the world on your shoulders for all those years, and then finally coming out through the darkness and understanding what it's like and changing the world one person at a time and in small groups and putting it all together. You've got a new fan, Scott Sullivan, and Mind Your Own Business, Inspired News Radio. We're all fans now. Can hardly wait to work with you on future projects. So thank you so much for giving us an hour of your time and your day today. And thanks for blessing all of our listeners. This is just so fantastic today.
Oh, thank you, Scott. It's been an honor, really an honor and a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
And until next time, like I say every time when we sign off, Scott Sullivan with Mind Your Own Business. And I always say, mind your own business, because nobody else is going to. You have to do it yourself. And that's now I'm going to change the name for this week. And I'm going to say, mind your own business, but do it heart led. So, because in honor of Sue DeMay, and I can hardly wait to get a copy of your new book, because I am definitely a new fan. Thanks for being with us every single week right here on Inspired News Radio. We bring you the best success stories that we can get our hands on. We find the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs from all over the world. As you know, we broadcast over the internet. So the beautiful part about it is it doesn't matter where you are. You can always tune into inspirednewsradio.com. I will put all of this information that we covered today up in our archives. So you just go to the host page. You click on Scott Sullivan, Mind Your Own Business, and there will be Sue DeMay, her beautiful picture and all of her books and her links and everything else right there on Inspired News Radio. Easy for you to find and easy for you to click right on and join and be a member and become a member and start living heart-led. So I really appreciate it. Until next week, thank you for listening and keep the spirit alive and keep leading from your heart.
You've been listening to Mind Your Own Business right here on inspirednewsradio.com. Thanks for tuning in each week as we interview some of the greatest CEOs and entrepreneurs in the world. to reach us on Twitter at INR Talk Radio, always use the hashtag MYOB for Mind Your Own Business. Make sure you stop by and check out all of the past episodes and all the great things that are available on our website, www.inspirednewsradio. There's great resources there that you can find for all of our other shows too. Thanks for being a part of the Inspired News Radio family. Until next week, remember to mind your own business.